this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord this Sunday morning. If I could just get everyone to stand with me. Let's just go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for another opportunity to come to the house of God to worship you, Lord Jesus. May you just come and help us just open the word up, Lord. Help us rightly divide the word of truth. Father God, just seed it into our hearts today, Lord. Open up our hearts and our minds to receive your word, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless y'all. Let's turn into our Bibles. We're going to read we'll start at Genesis chapter 13. We're going to read one verse. And then we're going to go over it in the book of Judges. By the help of the Lord, just be able to tie these two things together this morning. Genesis 13, we're just going to catch one verse. And it says, And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, but it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And then let's turn into the book of Judges. Judges chapter 17. This is a little bit of I've never done any study on Judges chapter 17, so this is fun for me. Judges chapter 17, and it says, we're going to read the first six verses. It says, Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord. I'm in the wrong book. That would help. Judges 17, chapter 17, verse 1. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver was with me. I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods and made an ephod and a teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. And catch this verse. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. God bless you as you take your seats this morning. We're going to go through a little bit of this story here in the book of Judges. Just want to show you the significance of idol worship here and how significant this particular idol worshiper really was, and how he actually became one of the main causes that idol worship became so prevalent in Israel during this time. And I'm going to go through some quotes here as well that the prophet made that really struck me. I was listening to last night. The Lord really inspired my heart heavily on this topic for this morning. I'm going to call this lesson this morning Everlasting Consequences. Everlasting Consequences. So during this specific time in Israel's history, the Bible said that there was no king, and at this specific time there was no judge either. It was right after Samson had judged. And from our opening text, we read how there was a man by the name of Micah of Mount Ephraim, and Micah had committed this act of thievery with his mother. He had stolen some of her money, so he confessed what he had done to her, and then in their reconciliation, she actually blessed Micah and took some of the money that he had stolen from her and then committed it to the Lord. But in so doing that, she wanted him to make an idol of the silver so that they could worship the Lord through that idol. So Micah took that money that was originally stolen and they made that idol. And the Bible says that the idol stayed in the house of Micah. Verse 5 where we read says that Micah had a house of gods. And then what happens is that he actually consecrated one of his sons to be a priest in the house. And verse 6 there where I said to take notice, there was no judge on the scene, there was no king. And then in this verse explicitly, that every man did right in his own eyes. And that's really one of the, it's a really a sad verse, because we know what Proverbs says, that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. And you know, if you think about this, Micah didn't build this altar to serve some foreign god. Micah and his mother's intentions were to build this altar to serve the Lord God. And what it was, it actually got dedicated to the Lord, and then it was used as an image to worship the Lord. It was a religious act. I read this commentary on it, and it says that Micah obviously wanted to maintain a religious influence in his home, but he went about it the wrong way. His apparently good intentions were not enough. He needed to follow God's laws and not his own idea of what was right. If Micah truly loved God, he would have desired to know what God had communicated to his people and what he should do about it. Instead, Micah set up his own religious system for his own benefit. And then he says, don't think that sincerity and good intentions are good enough. You may be in danger of thinking that you need no instructions from God's word or anything else. And I want you to think about that this morning. Sincerity and good intentions are never enough when it comes to worshiping God. I read this statement, you know, and it struck me. It says, when a man follows his own instincts, it leads to ruin. And that's the truth, because we're born in sin and we're shaped in iniquity. Amen. And verse 7, if you go read verse 7 of this chapter in Judges 17, just to kind of break down some of this story, it begins to describe how there was a priest who was sojourning in the land. So he was traveling through the land, and this young man, we come to later realize that his name was Jonathan. And if we go and study the book of Numbers, you realize that the tribe of Levi was supposed to be set apart by God as priests under the tribe of Israel. In fact, when God was giving out the land for their inheritance, the Levites were actually not given a land because they were supposed to be set apart to serve God and the nation of Israel. The Bible says that the Lord was their inheritance. God himself was their portion. So if you read this story and you realize that this Levite that comes into the house of Micah, he was actually in a backslidden condition. And Micah somehow thought it was providential that a priest just passed along his way. And he makes the priest an offer. In verse 10, he says, dwell with me and be a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year and a suit of apparel and thy victuals. And he went in. That Levite was backslidden, because if you go read in Numbers, priests and their assistants, they were all members of the tribe of Levi. They were to serve the people and to teach them how to worship God, and they were to do that in the temple. They were to not do it in homes. They were explicitly told not to do that, not to perform victuals and rituals in people's homes. Nothing in the law gave the priest access to perform priestly duties in the individual's home. Then if you go read verse 13, then said Micah, and now watch this. Then said Micah, now that I know the Lord will do me good, seeing that I have a Levite to be my priest. And I thought this was amazing. Matthew Henry says, Micah thought it was a sign of God's favor to him and his images that a Levite should come to his door. Thus, those who please themselves with their own delusions, if providence unexpectedly brings anything to their hands that further them in their evil way, they're apt from thence to think that God is pleased with them. Think about that for a moment. Just because you're doing something and providentially something comes along your way that you think is confirming it, you need to match it up with the word, because he didn't match it up with the word and he thought he was living in the right place, but that Levite was backslid. They were serving idols and they were living in the wrong kind of place. And nothing about this entire situation was according to the word. And Micah was under some kind of a delusion because some apparent sign of this blessing came through the house that was completely out of the will of God. Now, if you move into chapter 18, the tribe of Dan sought for themselves an inheritance. So the Bible says, you're just kind of reading through the story. So the Bible says that they came to the Mount of Ephraim, and then they came into the house of Micah and lodged there, and they heard the voice of the priest, and they recognized it. So what did they do? So they sought counsel of God through this backslidden priest. Now, this was a time that there was no direction. So they were looking for direction. And so they had saw the images that were laid in Micah's house, and they saw that there was this Levite. So then they went to this Levite and asked a counsel from the Lord. And the counsel that they received was that they would be blessed. And so they went on their way and they departed. But then if you skip down into later verses in chapter 18, in their journeying through the country, then they came again through the country, and they came again to the house of Micah. This time they had over 600 men with them. And the men that had previously gone to the house of Micah, so there was just a small group of men from that tribe who had gone to the house of Micah, and then they went on their way because they thought they were blessed of God. And then later on, they came journeying through that land, and they realized that this was the same place that they were. They had much more men. So then those men told the entire tribe, we need to go down to this house because there's a Levite and there's graven images, and we need to take what they have. So they went into Micah's house, and they took the images and the idols. They even took the priest. If you read Judges 18:18, we can pull it up. And those, they went into Micah's house and they fetched the carved images and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten images. Then said the priest unto them, what do ye? And they said unto him, hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth and go with us and be to us a father and a priest. It is better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and family in Israel. And so the priest's heart was glad and he took the ephod and he took the teraphim and he took the graven images and went into the midst of the people. So they turned and they departed and put the little ones and the cattle in the carriage before them. And from this series of events, Micah got so upset that he pursued the men and he started lamenting to them. And he said, you've taken away my gods, which I worshiped, and the priests that I've served. What am I going to do? He had gotten so attached to the images that he was serving. He was no longer serving God. He was serving those images, and he had made this priest. And saints of God, I never want to be like Micah, where I get so attached to idols in my life that I can't get past those things. We are to take the spiritual context out of these things. You have idols. There's idols that are anything that takes your time away from God is an idol. Amen. And so if you're serving that thing and God comes in your life to try to strip that thing out of your life, you don't need to lament after that idol. You need to say, that's what God wants in my life. Even if it's a little hard, even if it's a little difficult, even if it's been in your home for a long time, you need to realize that God is trying to do something in your life. Amen. And he said, I'm so stricken because I'm so bonded to those idols in my life that I can't let them go. And, you know, just some simple concepts this morning. Entertainment can be an idol. Amen. Recreation can be an idol. Amen. A certain friendship can be an idol. A relationship can be an idol. If somehow, whatever situation you're in, you put it there, you put the dot, dot, dot there. If it's taking your time away from God, or if it's drawing you from a relationship with God, then it is an idol, and you need to recognize that that is an idol in your life. Amen. The tribe of Dan saw the lamenting of Micah, but they convinced him that he needed to turn about and go back home. Otherwise, they were going to destroy him and take his life, because the tribe of Dan had a great number of men, and Micah only had a few men. And I thought these last few verses were so powerful to me. Judges 18 and chapter 18, verses 28 through 31. And there was no deliverer because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man. And it was in the valley that lieth by Bethrob. And they built a city and dwelt therein. And they called the name of that city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born in Israel. Howbeit the name of the city was Laish at the first. And the children, now catch this morning if you're paying attention. And the children of Dan set up a graven image, and Jonathan the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of captivity of the land. And they set them up Micah's graven images, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. I want you to notice this morning. The decisions that you make have a lasting effect on more than just your life. I want you to catch that this morning. The decisions you make have a lasting impact on more than just your life. Micah's decision to create an idol in his house led to an entire tribe that served an idol until they were led into captivity. Saints of God, there's an idol that if there's something that's taking your time away from God, realize that it's affecting more than just you. It's affecting your family. It's affecting your fathers, your mothers, your children. And you need to realize that there's something that's grabbing your attention. Amen. I caught this in the study last night. You know, the priest that was a Levite, his son, his name was Jonathan, the son of Gershom. Who was Gershom? Gershom was the son of Moses. The grandson of Moses had gotten into such a backslidden condition in his life. It doesn't matter who you are and what family you come from and what lineage you are. He had gotten so backslidden that he took the images that this king had set up or this man had set up in his home, and he caused an entire tribe to worship those images. He took their worship from a true God, from our God. Those idols that you worship, they take your time from God. God's wanting to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a bond with you, but you're worshiping an idol in your life. Amen. He was backslidden. Hallelujah. God requires obedience to his word. Amen. The city of Dan, and they called the name of that city Dan. The city of Dan will become the most, and listen to this, I caught this. The city of Dan will become the most prominent northern city in Israel. The phrase, they came up with a phrase, and it was from Dan to Beersheba, and it became an expression from the north to the south of Israel, indicating all of Israel. And I want you to catch this last verse, a note on this last verse. The children of Dan set up for themselves the carved images. This was the beginning, listen to this, this was the beginning of established idolatry in Israel in the promised land. There was always individual idolatry, but now had come a time where it wasn't individualized anymore. It had caused an entire tribe to worship those images. Because they were looking for something and they found it in the wrong place. And instead of checking themselves with God and with the word and with the laws that he had associated with them, they found this idol and they worshiped this idol. And think about the chain of events that happened in this chapter. A man made a decision to serve an idol in place of God, and it ended with an entire tribe of Israel led into established idolatry. How sad of a point that is this morning. His personal idolatry became the idolatry of an entire tribe. Think of it. Think of that this morning. I want to take a turn here this morning. I know I'm kind of preaching, but the Lord's just inspired my heart. We're talking about choices this morning. Choices that affect you. Choices that affect your family. Choices that, fathers, choices that affect your children. Husbands, choices that affect your wives. Choices that can have everlasting consequences. Brother Branham makes this statement, and he's talking about Lot with that scripture we read. He says, you see, when Abraham was sitting under his tent because he had made a choice, and that choice is brought before every person that's born in this world. The tree of good and evil is set before every person. Listen to that this morning. The tree of good and evil is set before every person. And when Lot, his nephew, and their herdsmen began to argue about the grounds, Abraham, being a just man, said to them, just let there be no arguments among us. You choose your going away. And that place comes into every believer's life, and it's before you this morning, and it's before me. And I want you to catch what he says this morning. He says, Lot didn't think that he was going to backslide. But what did he do? He went looking towards Sodom. Sodom, where things were easy. And there's so many times that we look towards the easy way. I'll join this church. And you see, nobody will say anything against it because it's the biggest church in the city. Many times we do that when we're wrong. He didn't know he was going to backslide, but you saw the backslidden condition in his expression when he looked towards the city. Remember, he says, remember, if you follow Christ, you'll be hated by people. For all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if you come to Christ, you'll not come by any church or any denomination or any creed. You'll come by the blood. That's the only avenue, and you cannot bring no one with you. You'll come alone and stand on your own confession and your own faith. You'll not ride on the pastor or the mother's faith. You'll come as an individual when you come to God. And many times, he's talking about the choices. Many times, we make those foolish choices. What if Lot, when he's seen everything easy, he saw that there was much money and much popularity because he'd be a stranger and a smart man and educated in a lot of psychology, and he could do certain things and yet maintain his religion. He thought, I've got faith in God. I'll just go down into Sodom and I'll make some money and I'll become a great man and a wonderful preacher. So see, you have a choice to make. I want you to catch something this morning, friends. Think of this. The prophet of God caught Lot's mind in the matter. He said, I'll believe in God. He said, I'll go down to this city. I'm a believer. I can go into Sodom. I can go and do the things of the world. I can have one foot in and one foot out because I know I'm a believer. I know I'm established. But think of the choices that you make. They don't just affect you. They affect your entire family. And if you go and read Saints of God, if you go and read Lot, somehow by the grace of God, Lot made it out of the city. But Lot's wife did not make it out of the city. And it was because of a choice that he made that Lot's wife did not make it out of the city. Think of the choices that you make. You need to make sure that the choices you make are in line with the word, because it's not just your choices that are going to affect your life. It's going to be your choices that affect many lives. Hallelujah. Oh, I can live a little worldly. Oh, I can do a little bit of things. I can live in Sodom a little. Friends, don't find yourself living with Lot's argument. Don't find yourself living in a half-in state, because it's going to affect more than just you. Oh, you can say I'm a believer, it'll be okay. But the consequences, my brother, my sister. Oh, he says, and it wasn't long when Lot seen that big city. He didn't see his wife turning to a pillar of salt. Though he didn't see the fires burning up the city. Lot didn't know that that it was going to be because of his decision that he made. He didn't perceive that at the start of it, because of a choice that he made, that his heart would never, that his her heart would never be able to leave that place because of a choice he made for her, that his wife's heart was never able to leave that place. Let that sink in this morning. He didn't see, Brother Benham says that he didn't see his wife turn into a pillar of salt when he looked up towards Sodom. He didn't see the fire burning up in that city. But he made a choice, and he stayed in that city knowing it was full of sin. How many opportunities came upon Lot to leave that city when the sin just started compounding? How many opportunities did he have to stop, to take his family, to rid that home of that impurity, to rid his home of the idols that they were having? How many opportunities did he have? Think of the consequences of that decision, every time he made that decision. And I know for the rest of Lot's mortal life, he thought about those choices that he made. And I know he had so many regrets. Oh, if I could just go back and leave the city when I know my wife's heart wasn't turned. Oh, if I could just go back. Don't be like that. Don't be like Micah. It will have lasting effects. Micah's idolatry had lasting effects on the tribe of Dan and on the entire kingdom of Israel. Lot didn't know that his choice was going to cause his wife to lose her life and cause his daughters to turn to fornication and cause, you know, the Amalekites came out of that decision, and you know how the rest of that turns out, because he lifted up his eyes towards the easy way. And today, saints of God, you know, it may not always be easy. It may not always be an easy choice to rid your life of the idols you've been serving in entertainment, or the idols of materialism, we've talked about that, or to consecrate your home and to take a stand on holiness and on righteousness. But if you don't take a stand, and if you don't choose, the effects of your decision will long outlast your life. The choices you make can have everlasting consequences. Your wife, your husband, your children, they will be influenced by the choices that you make, and it would cause their life to end up like Lot's life. Somehow, by the grace of God, he managed to get out of that city. But his daughters and his wife and his son-in-laws, that was another story. His leadership wasn't enough to get them out. You have to choose what you are allowing in your home. You have to choose what you are allowing in your heart. You have to make a choice. It is a choice. God calls you. God has drawn you. He's shown you a message. But you have to make a choice. Are you willing to take the way with the Lord's despised few? Are you willing to rid yourself of the idols, the carven images? Right. Hallelujah. You have to make a choice how you lead. Stand for the Lord. Stand for righteousness. Take Abraham's way. Don't take lots. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word this morning. Yeah. Father, we just ask that you could just come and speak to our hearts. Forgive me, Lord, if I just got a little excited, Lord. We just love your word, and we just ask that you'd speak and minister to our hearts. Be with the musicians, the song leader. Be with the pastors. You come and bring forth the word. We love you. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.